Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
If you'd stand with us, we're going to read. You'll read the responding verses. We're going to talk today about love will find a way. Oh, yes, it will. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. Anybody need a breakthrough today to get to Jesus? Come on. Well, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven you," or to say, "Arise, take up your bed, and walk"? I say to you, arise, take your bed, and go to your house. Verse 12 together. Immediately he arose and took up the bed and went out of the presence of them. So that all they were amazed, glorified God's. We've never seen anything like this. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that that will be our confession when we leave here today. I've never seen anything like this. Because, Lord, there's miracles that you want to perform in the house today. Because love is going to find a way to get it done. Lord, we some of us made sacrifices of being in your presence today. And so we want to leave your presence. When we leave your presence, we don't want to leave the same way we came. But we want to leave with the knowledge of knowing that you're here for us and you can take care of everything that besets us, especially our sins, but also you can heal our bodies. Holy Spirit, we ask you to direct this conversation this morning through the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. It's interesting how we're going to talk today about obstacles and things that would keep us from really prospering in the presence of Jesus. But let me say these few things. From the biblical accounts that we have on record, things about Jesus' healing and salvation for people, there appears to be a common thread that would bring them all together, and it's simply this. The Lord was concerned about the well-being of man, but addressed the deeper need of freedom from sin. And somehow he correlates the two of these things together, and I hope I can give you some theological understanding, but not just theology, but the reality of knowing that Jesus wants to take care of all of you. This is not one part of you, but all of you. And that being the case, faith was always the important element that brought all the necessary components together so that people could experience wholeness and the freedom to be all that God intended them to be. Today, some of you are going to take a quantum leap into the place you've always wanted to be, into the place where God wants to do great things through you. The things that have held you back, the sin that would easily beset you, Jesus is going to set you free from that. So why do you say that? Because three things I'd offer you as perhaps something you should consider. Number one is this. Are you presently faced by obstacles that would keep you from coming into the presence of Jesus? Well, what does that look like? When we're in the presence of Jesus, when we were worshiping, I bless your name and all those type of things, somebody couldn't get in. I want to tell you why. Because the enemy told you you're not good enough. You're not clean enough. Or maybe you've been struggling with the fact you're just not smart enough to get it as far as it's concerned. But I want to let you know, Jesus is here. But Jesus wants to be here and occupying your heart. Second thing I would propose to you is this. Are you willing to allow someone with greater faith than yours to bring you into his presence? I hope that you'll leave here deputized, that maybe next week you'll bring somebody to church saying, you know what? I know where you need to be. You need to come to church with me. I'm getting bold. I say, you know, I know exactly what you need. You need Jesus. And I know where you can find him. Now, you can find him right here. But, you know, when the collective amount of people come together, the power and the presence of God will change you. It'll make you, all of a sudden you say, well, I want what they have. And I hope that you'll catch that message. We have an opportunity to bring people into Jesus' presence. Here's the third thing. Will you accept his forgiveness of your sins so that you can be made completely whole? Some of you need to forgive yourself. You say, what does that mean? It means that you can't change it, but Jesus can forgive it. And I hope you'll be able to do that. Well, let's just dive into this particular message. My first title is Stuck in the Gridlock of Sin. Sound familiar? Well, Romans chapter 7, verse 7 through 11. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, taking an opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. And apart from the law, sin was dead. Before I go on to the next part, you know, I know that many of you realize that you don't have to teach children how to lie. No, you don't. You don't have to teach them how to steal. Something about their nature wants something that you have, and they will hide it. I don't know what happened to it. Did you break that? Oh, no, I didn't break it. It broke. Yeah, let's move on here. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came in, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I've found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it killed me. Some of you are under the death sentence of sin and don't see any way out. The enemy will just shake it in your face and say, oh yeah, you tried doing that. You tried going repenting, but you know, you were doing the same thing before you got home or you called that person or whatever it was. But somehow we're just going to expose the works of the devil with this particular scripture. And many of us will find ourselves stuck in various ways to habits, situations, or choices that resulted in sin. Can I get an amen? Amen. Because it's true. And many times it's just habitual things we do. We do it over. Oh, I need to stop doing that. I need to stop doing that particular thing. And it just on and on and on. Well, when we are stuck, we usually are in need of something or someone to rescue us from our situation. Someone to rescue us, some program, some particular thing we can go to, some accountability group we feel will help us to get out of that situation. Well, people rarely get stuck on purpose. Unless you're stupid. Ever gone out in the snow without chains and got stuck and wonder how it happened? Really? But you know, something inside of you said you could make it. Something inside of you said that you're not like everybody else. You could make it to the store and back and not get stuck. But you know something? You were wrong. And you're stuck. And who are you going to blame for it? The snow? See, that's our problem. We're going to blame something else. If you stayed where you were supposed to stay, it wasn't that important. But sin in us convicts us, well, you know, it doesn't really matter. I'm going to beat the odds. Yeah, how's it working for you? It's not. Well, we are in need of someone to come along to help us. I had this happen. I got to tell my story. I was going to, this happened during the last little thing, you know, ice on the road type thing. I live kind of a slopey hill, goes down this direction. And I decided, as I said, I decided I was going to go down the hill and I was going to meet my daughter and bring her back up the hill. Problem was, there's ice on the hill. And of course, I didn't take my big car, I took my wife's car, so in case I, you know. I'm confessing, you all. But I got almost down the hill. And the car, all of a sudden, I put on the gas and goes, It's going toward my neighbor's car. So I did the right thing. I called 911. And you know what they told me? That's your problem. We're not going to come get you off the hill. There are people that are in much more important situations. Now, here's the thing that made it even worse. I couldn't get back up the hill because I had house shoes on. I was baptized in stupid that day. I needed some help. So I'm sitting out there, and all of a sudden, so I put the car in park and this type of thing, and I'm sitting there, and I'm praying, God, I know, I'm not even going to ask you to help me. I'm just going to sit here, and if I die in the car, it's all right. Ever be embarrassed for being stupid? Come on, I'll vote for that one. But anyway, I sat there for a while, and then the neighbor at the bottom of the hill saw my situation. He and his brother came from their house. They got out shovels and shoveled a pathway, shoveled all the ice out of the way so I could get down to the bottom of the hill. Nobody, I've never really met them because they're at the bottom of the hill. They did all this. They looked at me, they kind of waved and we got this. And shoveled me a clean path as far as it's concerned. Now, so now I'm at the bottom of the hill. I still can't get up. But you know what I did? I called my son. I said, Daddy's stuck at the bottom of the hill. He said, don't worry about it, Dad. I got you. He got his big SUV. He came from all the other side of the hill. Don't even matter where he came from, but he came and gave me a ride up the hill. Can we get an amen? God will help you even when you're stupid. But you got to admit that you need help. See, some of you will never get help because you're still doing stupid, okay? Thank you for identifying with my pain. Well, the man was paralyzed and could not survive without the aid of someone else. And that's how some of us are. We're in paralysis. We need the aid from someone else. Some people can be unaware of how they got into their present state of being. I don't know about, we'll talk about these four people and give them some identity in just a moment. When we make poor choices that ultimately will lead us to a place where we will not be able to find freedom without the help of someone else. I dare you to say three words today. I need help. If you need help today, say it with me. I need help. All you that didn't say that, good luck. Because somewhere in life, you're going to need somebody to help you. But I want to point you to one who will never let you down. I want to point you to one who's a way maker when you don't think there's any way to be made. I want to point you to Jesus, who can take care of all your situations. Well, when we make poor choices, it ultimately leads us to the place where we'll be able to be free without someone's help. And being hopelessly stuck can bring us to despair, only wondering, will things ever change? I got a word for you today. Today is your day of change. I said, what? Because you tried everything, everybody. Ran out of money, ran out of friends. But Jesus is a friend like no other. He sticks closer than a brother. When we are stuck, truly stuck, we will focus on all the things that are holding us captive to our present situation. Now, I won't ask for a hand to be raised on this one because many of you have probably done it. When we run out of gas, we think of when we ignored the gas gauge or ignorantly thought we could had enough gas to get to make it. I'm good. I can make it there. You didn't plan on that traffic jam on 84. And the E's is just over there trembling on E. And you say, oh, Jesus, put something in my tank right now in the name of Jesus. You're calling for angels and everybody. But I want to tell you the reason why you are stuck is because you made a bad decision. Somebody say amen. Amen. And sometimes you need to be stuck to realize how stupid you are. In Jesus' name. If we get lost, we might think of the missed opportunity to ask for directions. I'm talking to every man in this room. I wanted to give you a prophecy. GPS will lie to you. It'll send you places you have never been before and never want to go again. I can find it on GPS. When all of a sudden that signal drops and there's nothing on the screen. Oh, Jesus is going to help some folks today. Yes, he will. If we've missed our plane, we might think of the choices that we made that were unwise and caused that to happen. When you try to pack an hour before you leave, I'm going to leave it alone because somebody's, oh, Jesus, Jesus. Yeah, I know. Okay. The paralytic man needed divine intervention in order to get into the presence of Jesus. And Jesus was nearby, but getting into his presence was a problem. I think the idea of the presence of Jesus, I believe all of you really want to be in his presence and you're in the right place. He's here. But is it just here where you want to get into his presence? How about all the time? How about living in the presence of Jesus? But consider this. We are in need of the idea of coming to the place of realizing how important that is to us. Second thing I would say to you, the presence of his friends gave him the opportunity to receive ministry. Now, listen to me carefully. What you enjoy on a weekly basis, many of you, your friends need that very same thing. They will never get here until you bring them. You see, oh, I don't want to say amen because I'll have to bring them. Really? You selfish thing, you. Come here every week, get a full course meal, and they're starving to death, and you're not even willing just to give them an invitation. Because you know something? We're afraid of that word, no. No, I don't want to do that. So you'd rather them go to hell than invite them. Well, don't put it like that. Well, yes, you are. Because Jesus has prompted us to invite people into his presence, and we have not done it. Ain't nobody going to say amen now, because you know that. Just say, oh, me, and we'll be all right. The crowd of people blocking all the known entrances did not hinder them from getting him to Jesus. There's obstacles. There's always going to be an obstacle to hinder you from getting to Jesus. There's, you know, schedules and this and that and this type of thing. But may I ask you a question? What will stop you from bringing somebody into Jesus' presence? What can separate us from the love of God? Neither height nor depth nor things to come nor things in the future. But what stopped you? I don't have time to address all the fears that you may have, but I will tell you this much. God wants love to win, to overcome the obstacles that keep people from coming to Jesus. That being the case, we must not allow the obstacles to hinder us from getting people into his presence. All known means of getting to Jesus were blocked. They come up to the house, front door, people are just coming out the door. Back door, it's all blocked. People up to the windows. I said, oh well, might as well go home. And leave the man who needs to be healed without healing. I want this to marinate or at least get into your mind enough. The people that you've left in their sin or left them in their situation because you didn't persevere or you didn't really love them enough to find a way. How does that work? Sometimes we will believe that even if we make a few a few bad things in our life, we'll have access to the Lord. And some of you have tried that one. I'm just going to stop doing some bad things, and then I know Jesus is going to accept me. On your terms? No. Because the things that you will change are not the things that need to be changed. Jesus doesn't want you to give you a little token of this thing. He wants you to change from the inside out, and you put it all on the altar. You don't pick and choose, oh, I can work with that one. You know, I can stop that. No. It's very often people that we have allowed in our lives that will prevent us from getting to Jesus. I heard somebody say, wow. You're right. If you will change some of your companions, you'll be able to get to Jesus. But it's either Jesus or Joey, or Jesus or Jane. And some of you have chose Joey and Jane and not Jesus. Now, come on, let's be real about it. Well, if I go all the way with Jesus, Jane will leave me. And if she stays, where can she take you? She's got no heaven to put you in, but she sure can send you to hell. Ooh, did I say that? Oh, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, help me to be nice today. We must find a way beyond the crowd to get to the Lord. I want to talk about these four men for a moment. I don't know exactly what their relationship was. They could have been neighbors, if they could have been longtime friends. I don't know who they were. But we're going to give them assignment of some names that I believe that will help you to understand what it takes to bring someone into the presence of Jesus. The first one, we're given the name called faith. And that is demonstrated by others who will lead us into the presence of Jesus. You have to have faith to believe that what you've experienced in Jesus can do the same thing for someone else. Now you say, well, I know it worked for me, but I don't think it works. She's pretty hardcore. He's pretty hardcore. I don't think that would work for them. And who made you the great evaluator? Or if they came to our church, oh, it would freak them out. Really? And you're not freaked out? Huh? Okay, I got to tell you another story. I was in high school. I was in high school. There's a friend of mine, he's a good friend of mine. And so I made I was really feeling kind of, evangelistic. I invited him, I said, well, you should come to my church sometime. He says, where is it? I think, oh, dear God, he asked me where it was. And I'm thinking, and I kind of mulled it over that. I said, it's on the corner of 10th and Grant. And I'm thinking, dear God, please don't let him show up. Because we had some crunchy people in our church. Now, you don't want to know what crunchy means? Yeah, crunchy. We had this one lady there, I don't know, we'll just call her Sister Loudmouth. And I don't care what it was. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You're taking the offering. Oh, God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm thinking, oh, please, Lord, keep her under control today. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not going the whole story, but I was embarrassed. I'm thinking, how, don't you know Jesus can cause people to process things differently than you see them? But you're already scared. Oh, if they do this and they do that particular thing, don't you know the Bible says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me, not to you, not to your church, not to your particular persuasion, but Jesus is the drawer. You know what our job is? Lift him up. Lift up Jesus, not your platform. Lift him up. He'll do the drawing. Second thing is, you need hope. That is given to us when we feel like giving up will sustain us when we're ready to give up. Hope had to have one corner of carrying that mat. Even though it doesn't say how long the man had had this particular condition, but evidently he had it long enough that it was urgent that he get into the presence of the Lord. Don't give up hope on people before you even bring them to Jesus. Number three, love. Love that is shown to us that we know we do not deserve because of our helpless position brought on by poor choices. See, you don't think people can come to Jesus because they're addicted to the same poor choices that you make. But love will conquer that. Because many of you thought you were never a candidate for God's righteousness and you're here today. Can you entrust that to someone else and allow God to use them? The last one I threw in there, I think it'll probably be helpful to some of you, perseverance of the Holy Spirit revealing to us ways that are supernatural in order to receive the miraculous. What about that? Supernatural expedience. Well, faith in Jesus will remove the guilt of sin, and that we're going to talk about the guilt of sin for a moment. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I want to let you know right now, if Jesus Christ lives in your life, the Holy Spirit will direct you and guide you into doing and making right and good decisions. Can I get an amen? When we must experience a breakthrough and get into the presence of Jesus for salvation, when we are in the presence of the Lord, our sin will become apparent to us. You don't have to say, you need to stop doing this. All of a sudden, when Jesus' presence comes in, it reveals to us how far we are away from the Lord. And we get to choose, I'm going to choose Jesus or I'm going to choose my sin. You can't have both. Oh, with all the physical obstacles put aside, we must deal with the spiritual things in us that keep us in bondage. Let's put it all aside for a moment and ask you a question. Why are you still in the apathetic state of doing your own thing? Now, if you are foolish enough to say, I don't know, then who does? It's your life. Our response through Jesus' offer of forgiveness is the only thing that can move us from the bed of paralysis. Now, this word called guilt, I want to spend a few moments with that. It's like this. Guilt, and I use some acrostics on this. Guilt is the paralysis of sin. Grieving, unsettled issues that leave you troubled. The Bible says that Jesus is a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He knows what grief looks like. He knows how you have sorrowed over different things. I really want to change. I really want to do better. But somehow it just happens all over again. I don't need you to raise your hand. I just need you to let your heart receive some healing today. This grief situation, let's talk about it. Grief over our mistakes in our past, whether intentional or honest mistakes, will keep us in our state of helplessness, unable to function. Some of you couldn't worship today because of grief. Because you're saying, well, I'd love to worship God today, but I know I don't deserve worship. I don't know, I can't really lift my hands unto the Lord. I just have to kind of sit here in misery, knowing I just haven't met up to what God's expectations are. Let's go on to I real quick, to guilt, excuse me. Unsettled. Unsettled things are running in the background of our life that keep us from moving forward. Unsettled. Today, I want to admonish you, get it settled. Make up your mind. If Jesus is the one you're going to serve, serve him. Stop this two-sided thing. He who is not with me, the Bible says he is against me. You cannot be for Jesus and against him at the same time. Well, I love Jesus, but I love my sin. Does not work. Let me move on to I. I is issues. That's quite a powerful word. The gridlock of relationships that should have been resolved long ago, holding us hostage to things that we know do not belong in our lives now that we are in the presence of Jesus. And you know, some of you can't worship sometimes because you get ready to worship the Lord, then all of a sudden that vision comes in your mind of a thing, or I should say, a person, place, or thing. And that noun keeps you from really worshiping Jesus or giving your life to him. It's issues. L, leave. Abandon your attempt to resolve things that have held you down. I'll never get through it. This is just how I'm going to be. Or how about the last one? Troubled. Unable to function, paralyzed, unable to fulfill your purpose. Let me take you real quickly. Our sins keep us from the mat, keep us on the mat of affliction, unable to function. So I don't know what they did when they went over to this guy's house. He says, call him Joe. Joe, Jesus is in town. We believe if we can get you into Jesus' presence, your life is going to change. Some of you have to be willing to lay on the mat of embarrassment. You hear what I said? Some of you are too proud to get healed. If I'm going to get healed, I'm going to get there myself. I ain't going to let nobody dragging me on no mat. That's the reason why you are pitiful right now. Get over your pride, get on the mat. And let someone carry you into the presence of Jesus. But we want to be in control so much. But there's something that needs to be done. The matter of affliction. When we are in the presence of Jesus, we will address real issues that have kept us bound. The healing of our body is secondary. The wholeness of our soul is primary. Sin was the issue that needed to be addressed first of all. You say, wait a minute. They come to the place. The place is so jammed, nobody can get in there. But these guys are persevering. They said, there's got to be a way that we get him in the presence of Jesus. Some guy says, I know this is going to be hard, but there's some stairway that leads up to the roof. What if we get up there, we get on the roof, and we just take off the tile, find some rope, and let him down to the presence of Jesus? Are you willing to persevere that much to get somebody healed or get somebody saved? Or you say, oh, well, nice try. I believe there's people right now interceding in the Spirit for you to find your way to Jesus. Well, sin is not always something we do. Listen to this. We can find ourselves stuck in a place where we cannot trust God when he's the only one who's trustworthy. I can't trust God. Everybody's let me down. Everybody? The Bible says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Some of the things you thought were letdowns from God was a way of preparing you for the real thing to come along. God is not going to let you find it in a false way. When he delivers, you're going to be totally 100% delivery, not dependent on anybody or anything. Come on, because that's what God wants to do. Sin is when we hope for change, but do nothing to allow it to happen. And sin is when we allow ourselves to be alienated from God by not coming into his presence. Some of you try to boycott God. Till God saves my girlfriend, I'm not going to church. God never called you to missionary dating. Do you hear what I said? Some of you found that little tasty morsel. Let him go. Let her go. I don't believe in missionary dating. You are not Jesus. Jesus is the only one who can save folks, and he doesn't need your help to do any of the above. Do you get me loud and clear? Somebody called me up and said, Pastor, I found this girl. I said, does she believe in Jesus? Well, you know, she goes to church. The devil never misses a service. I'm going to leave that alone because I'll get distracted, okay? Jesus forgiving our sins releases us from the spiritual paralysis. Jesus wants us to know that our relationship with him is healed. He wants us to know that we are loved by him before any physical changes in our life. He will send us home with a new purpose that will be witnessed by all. Let me take you to this last little place, getting people into the presence of Jesus. Do you want to do that? Because that's an amen place. Do you want to do that? Five of you do. What about the rest? Do you want to get people in the presence of Jesus? Yes. Well, watch what's going to happen here. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 11. But what things were gained for me, these I have counted as loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Are you ready to suffer? Are you willing to suffer some losses in order for people to come into the presence of Jesus? The loss of your reputation. I want people to know that I go to one of those kind of churches. Because some of you, it's a secret. Where do you go on Sunday? Oh, I had a good time on Sunday. You don't tell me you go to church. Shame on you. That I may be found, may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteous one, which is from God by faith. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his suffering, and being conformed to his death. Watch this. If by any means I may have attained to the resurrection from the dead. Some of you are going to come out of this death experience to become alive in Christ. Well, our sins can make us put us in a place of not functioning as we should. We must be willing to suffer the loss of everything for the sake of knowing Christ. Getting people in God's presence will require sacrifice. Look at me. Are you willing to sacrifice? Or I should ask this, what are you willing to sacrifice to get people in Jesus' presence? Our most present, or actually powerful or precious commodity is time. And it also takes a little time of making that invitation and you know what? I'll pick you up. Just come with me. I hope this convicts some people that says, you know, I've been hindering people from coming to Jesus because I'm stingy. Oh, honey, they live way out there, and you know, gas is high now. You stingy rascal. It will take time and effort that we may never recover. Our belief, our value system is based on people getting to know Christ better along with ourselves. Knowing Christ is the foundation of our value system. Worship team, you can make your way up here because I'm just about done. Because we got a song that we're all going to sing together in just a moment. The men who brought the paralyzed man to Jesus were willing to do whatever it took. My question is, are you willing to do whatever it takes? Are you willing to do that? Or do you have a limit, a ceiling on what you're willing to do? Well, I'll go this far, but you know, that's, They did not let the crowd discourage them. Your friends will say, why don't you leave her alone? She's got enough problems in her life. Taking her to church will just confuse her. They'll tell you that. They did not let the physical work of removing the roof stop them. We've almost got him there. But there's no room to get him in there. Some of you will turn around and go home. Or they didn't answer their phone or they didn't answer the email. And God says, just kind of persevere. Go beyond that. Go see him in person. What about this? Getting people in the presence of Jesus will cause us to become reliant on the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we won't fear that we're making a mistake. We'll take risks that may be thought of as foolish. But Jesus overcomes all the things that you would think about. He looks and he says, your sins are forgiven you. Said nothing about his condition. The very first thing that people need done in their life is to be free from their sin. And you know something? It's a whole different message. I may preach it someday. About the paralysis of sin that keeps people with all types of illnesses and all types of maladies and all types of emotional problems. But that's the reason why Jesus started off with the most important thing. When you are free from the guilt, from the power of sin, healing can have its rightful place. It's going to cost you something. It's pretty simple. You may end up having to repair a roof. It's okay. This song, you may know it. We're going to stand and sing it. And then at the end of this song, I want people that are here today to say, you know what? I need to come to Jesus today. I need God to more than survive, but to thrive. But it's an opportunity to come to him. without judgment, without fear, without the anguish of knowing that things aren't going the way that I thought they would. I want you to stand to your feet and join us in singing this song, and then I'll invite you to the altar. It's a simple song. First verse goes like this.
I need you, you need me, we're all a part of God's body. Find with me, agree with me, we're all a part of God's body. It is His will that every need be supplied. You are
Let's go back to the first verse again, because I want you to know what. I want you to say this from your heart. I need you, you need me. Here we go.
I need you, you need me.
We are all.
We're all a part of God's body. Stand with me.
Another verse.
I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. I won't harm you with words from my mouth.
Every head bowed, every eye closed. Now I want to speak into your heart right now. You need Jesus today. I have nobody else to offer you but Jesus. Some of you need to come back to Him because you got lost in the shuffle of circumstance. And I want you to picture those four men that are carrying you on a stretcher to the presence of Jesus and saying, you know what? Doesn't matter what it looks like, doesn't matter what it feels like, but once I come into His presence, things will change. I'm gonna pray, and at the end of my prayer, I want every person in this room that would say to me, you know, Pastor, I really wanna make a change today. I wanna come back to Jesus. I wanna give my life over to Him. I want you to make your way down this aisle, and we're gonna sing that, I'll pray for you, you pray for me, and you come, and we're gonna pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke the devil right now. That's held people hostage, that's held them restrained, kept them from really crying out and saying, oh God, I need you. I can't make it on this journey on my own. I need somebody that'll come alongside me that will help me to the presence of Jesus. And Lord, I realize I'm here today, but now I need to take a step of faith because it's already been declared my sins will be forgiven if I just come to Jesus. And I'm gonna exercise my will to come to Him. all the guilt, all the pain, all the frustration, all the hurt, all the things that have been in my life, I choose to relinquish those things today and leave them at the feet of Jesus. If that's you right now, lift your hand saying, today is my day. It's going to change today. Come on, lift it up high where I can see it, all over this building. Lift it up high. And in a moment, we're going to sing that song. I want you to come down these aisles and allow Jesus to touch your life. You pray for me. I'll pray. You, if you're listening, come on down. Come on.
I love you. I need you too.
That's right. Come on, Jesus.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.